This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم تقبل منا ومنكم يا رب العالمين. Alright, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد في الأولين، وصل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الآخرين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا من القرآن العظيم، وذكرنا منه ما نسينا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم آتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. It's an honor and a pleasure, alhamdulillah, continue with soul searching. And this is the third installment, the third section. We're going to be speaking about the tazkiyah, the purification, the cleansing, the rectification, the improving of a nafs, of our inner soul. And just a little bit of a recap. In the previous 2 weeks, we kind of got to know a little bit about our Islamic understanding of what are the components of a human being. And we said that we're a physical reality, we're an intellectual, rational being, but we're also a spirit and a soul. And we said that the soul resides in what is referred to proverbially as al-qalb, the heart, and that the soul takes on two particular forms. There is a ruh, which is an elevated, consecrated, honored state, the way it was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your soul is beyond the degradation and the sinfulness, the emotions and the cravings of that which is haram, in comparison to a nafs, which is lowly and egotistical and craving and seeking of that which it knows deep down will not fulfill it, but it has become drowned in the deceptions that surround it and that can be increased upon it by the shaitan. It becomes important for you and I, of course, to then combat the sinful impulses that abound within our lives that try to bring us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us from those who are seeking the base desires of the dunya at the expense of what it is that we can attain in the coming days, years of our future, and into the next life. May Allah grant us its protection. Allahumma ameen. So we're continuing, alhamdulillah, with the third installment. Now we're going to begin speaking about cleansing the soul, which means that we are of those who are initially admitting that as human beings, we find fault and folly within ourselves. We have a state of knowledge and understanding that there are things that we will do that will move us off the path that require a tasfiyah and a tazkiyah. And I want to speak about those two words, which are interchangeable. A tasfiyah, the cleansing, or tazkiyah, which is a purification. Both of them are important standards that you and I seek to continuously, regularly practice. The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ, you set yourself alight, meaning the sins of your life are going to put you in a place where hellfire will be your residence. ثُمَّ تُصَلُّونَ فَيَبْرُدُ عَنْكُمْ, then you fulfill your prayer, your fajr prayer, and that which you have done, that which was displeasing to Allah, cools off you and becomes something that is forgiven for you by Allah. ثُمَّ تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ, then you begin to live an agitated life and you begin to inflame yourself once again. ثُمَّ تُصَلُّونَ, and then you pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His mercy and bounty and forgiveness. فَيَبْرُدُ عَنْكُمْ, and you cool yourselves down. That very concept of knowing that we are putting ourselves in danger and need to come back from the brink and from the edge of the cliff becomes the key to salvation. It is tasfiyah, to cleanse away, remove away, take apart that which we know needs to be removed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured various levels of tasfiyah and tazkiyah. We know in the authentic hadith that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, before the night journey and then ascending into the heavens by the divine order and will and power of Allah, in the means that Allah knows that we are unable to comprehend, as it is a matter of the unseen, we believe that in the hadith, Jibreel opened the chest of the Prophet ﷺ and removed the dark spot. So there's this tasfiyah, cleansing. There was a dark spot that was removed. Allah tells us about these dark spots in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. In fact, there is a rusting and there is a corrosion that envelops the heart. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Imam Muslim that whenever أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبَ, a human being commits a mistake, that their heart has a nukta sawda, a dark spot that covers it. And as the dark spots begin, it begins to encrust it and make it hard so that the light of faith cannot penetrate it. All of these are things that we kind of spoke about in the previous two sessions. And if you haven't heard them, go back and listen to session one and session two, inshallah. Our aim today is to speak about the importance of the tasfiyah, the tazkiyah, the cleansing and the removal of obstacles that can keep us away from gaining enlightenment and hidayah. All of us, we ask in our very first dua, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, oh Allah, guide us. So why do we find, if we are making this dua 17 times a day in our prayer, that guidance at times does not arrive, or we assume does not arrive? It's either we're not worthy of Allah increasing us in guidance, which is found in a mysterious ayah in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا, those who follow the guidance they already have, زِدْنَاهُمْ, I increase them in guidance. And therefore, when your heart turns away from Allah, Allah turns your heart away from Him. I'll repeat that. When your heart does not seek Allah, does not seek halal, does not seek what's right, does not crave the sunnah, when your heart is distracted with al-haakum al-takathur, the amassing of fortune, amassing of things that are distracting you from your very essential nature of showing Allah, God, all our Lord Almighty, that you are His servant, you are His slave, that you have made Him the king whose law you follow, and the Lord who you adore and worship in life. When your heart has lost that focus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then صَرَفَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, turns their heart. May Allah not turn our heart away from Him. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he used to make this dua regularly, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ, يَا مُثَبِّتَ الْقُلُوبِ, O Allah who makes hearts firm, O Allah who turns hearts, ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ, make my heart firm upon your path, upon your way, upon your faith in you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we must understand that there is a requisite cleansing and tazkiyah. You know, sometimes when you're at home and you think everything kind of, I'll speak for myself, all right? I'm not going to put you into it. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes I'll cook in the kitchen and my wife, and I think I've cleaned up. Like I've cooked, and I've wiped down the place, I've cleaned up, I thought it's clean. And then my wife comes home and she goes, Yahya, why is the place so dirty? And I said, subhanAllah, where's the, I don't see anything. And then she goes, well, here and here and here and here, and this is, and then when it's pointed out, my heart then recognizes it, my eyes recognize it, I become more attuned to it. And one of the greatest dangers in life is that you have messed up your kitchen, but you just don't know that it can be cleaner than what you assume it is. And therefore, procrastination and assuming life is as good as it gets, my iman is as good as it can be, my salah is as best as it can come, my reading of the Quran can be improved, my relationship with Allah through the relationship I have with others, it is what it is, this is the best I can do. and I'm just going to stagnate and remain in it, that is the first moment you need to wake up and understand that there is a concept that we have called tazkiyah, which is to clean and to purify from that which is necessary to be cleaned, even if one is unaware. The word tazkiyah in particular is referring to the deep cleaning, not the surface cleaning. So it's the cleaning that, mashallah, my wife can do to the kitchen that me as a husband fails to do at times until I'm actually instructed in it in the way that it should be, subhanAllah. And I want that to be kind of something that you kind of think about, that there are different levels to clean, different levels to pure, different levels to iman, different levels to ihsan, different levels to Islam and our a'mal, our deeds within it. One of the clear words is the word zakah. Of course, it comes very sounds very familiar to tazkiyah. Zakah, of course, is the purification of our wealth by sharing a section of it that doesn't belong to us, that is withheld by us on behalf of Allah to be delivered to those who Allah said it belongs to. And that's a powerful thing, subhanAllah. You earn the money, but it's not yours. Why? Because there are certain indulgences and excesses you had in earning that income that may make part of it really not yours, not earned in the purest sense. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His immense love for us cleanses us. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. Take from their wealth that which will purify them, subhanAllah. So we said the tazkiyah is meant to be a cleansing and a purification, but what it results in is an increase. And the second meaning of the word zakah means, it means an increase and a ribh, and a ziyada, an addition and a compounding to what you had. So when Allah asks us to give zakah, it is seen outwardly that we are losing money, but in fact, if you look with your soul, it will put blessing in what remains, that it lasts more than what was taken. SubhanAllah, there were days in my life where I was able to live off $100 for a month. You know, when I'd travel to study, and you know, I'd be, there were moments, I remember this clearly, I traveled to Medina and Mecca for Umrah, and for $100, I traveled for a number of days from place to place. And Allah put barakah in something small that I had, that had I had more, may have distracted me from the purpose of the knowledge that I was seeking or the ibadah that I was there to perform. And therefore, I want you to put that in your mind, that deprivation, loss, giving away from is not actually the same in the spiritual context. And therefore, when you cleanse your soul, you're actually strengthening your soul, purifying your soul, enriching your soul, and providing in it vigor, health, and strength. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that we make the adhan at the time, as-salatu khayru min, sleep is better for your body, is better for your mind, it's better for the day's work you're about to perform, it's better for your iman, it's better for your deeds to be elevated and accepted, it's better for your dua that will come to be answered. It's better in a thousand ways other than the one where you sleep a little bit longer and feel what you think mistakenly is rest, but actually took away from your strength. SubhanAllah. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari and Muslim, where he says that when a person wakes up and they make these three actions, istayqadha dhakara Allah, they immediately made mention of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, for example. Ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. You remembered Allah. Number two, tatahhara wa ghtasal, that you purify yourself, you make your ablutions, your wudu. Number three, salla, that you make your prayer, you prayed your fajr, you gain the strength of a stallion. The Prophet ﷺ said, unlike if you remained asleep seeking the comfort that was in your bed. As-salah khayrun min an-nawm. So outwardly, it's strange. People will say, you know, you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning to pray and then try to get a couple of hours more sleep before work. That can't be good. That can't be good for your productivity. Subhanallah, it is. It's the opposite. Because we are believers in a metaphysical presence, that the actions of our spirit can influence our physical strength and opportunities that are gained therein, inshallah. So the tazkiyatun nafs is a cleansing, but it's also an increase. Increase in your health, increase in your sight, increase in your wealth, increase in your prosperity, increase in your relationships. What good is having a good sleep and a good rest, but when I wake up, I'm angry with my spouse? And we're hostile to each other because there's no barakah in our home. What rest is there in that regard? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix what is between us because we fixed what is between us and Him, Jalla wa ala. Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah to nafs. The purification of the inner soul. Now there's a fard aspect of it. Fardu ayn. A compulsory aspect that all of us must perform. And that is to enter into al-Islam and to avoid the sins that are mentioned within our deen as much as we can, to remove them from our character so that we are not held in a lowly light in society and before our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one group of scholars, they have said that the tazkiyatun nafs is fardu ayn. It's compulsory. You must know what are the things that are derogatory, that injure your soul, that make you lose disrepute, that are harmful for your character, so that you cleanse them, so that you are in good standing in front of Allah. Others, they said it is fard kifaya, that it is an obligation to know as much of these sinful things as we know and as we can, so that we cleanse them from our heart as much as possible, and that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strength in the things that we are unaware of. All of us agree that it becomes an individual obligation to learn about the things that will bring us to humiliation. And I want to say this, and I hope it's understood, inshallah. Most of the humiliation that a person endures in life is self-inflicted. Subhanallah. What do you mean self-inflicted? You've done something that has resulted in that humiliation being fitting for you. And this is even for the scholars of Islam. One of the most profound statements is the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayh. Sufyan al-Thawri is one of the seven tabi'een. There were seven scholars from the students of the Sahaba who were noted for their scholarship, for their piety, for their akhlaq, everything about them. He's one of the seven. Some say he is the Amir of the seven. Sufyan al-Thawri, as he exited the masjid one day, a man of low status, not a scholar, not a student of knowledge, just a commoner who wasn't known for anything significant, sabbahu, began to curse him and abuse him with choice words of ridicule and condemnation. The students, hundreds around Sufyan al-Thawri, they step forward and say, hey, don't you know who this is? You must be mistaken. This is the great Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan immediately silenced them and said, be quiet, do not make mention of shutting them down or asking them to be quiet. Let him continue. And the man increased in some of, you know, the words that he said. And then Sufyan rahmatullahi alayhi says, I know the mistake that was said by me, or the error that I did in my personal private life that caused this to happen to me today. And that this is something that I ask Allah to make a purification of, that error of the past that I had forgotten up until this moment. Subhanallah. What a beautiful way to look at some of the experiences that we have in life. And you might even see some of the comments here where you'll find some people who at times in their zealousness for correcting or for sharing information, they fail to understand themselves that it is better, as our ulama say, تعلم قبل أن تعترض. Learn a little bit before you seek to put forward contradictions. A couple of days ago, there was a brother. I had put a photo of, you know, the body haq challenge on my social media, and I was on a rowing machine. And one brother was quite vicious, subhanAllah, and said, I can see your knee. And I thought, okay, mashallah, I'm glad you focused on the knee part. That's awra and this and that. And of course, our dear brother, who may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him in good, increase him in his love, wanting to correct, I guess, forgot to actually learn first that most of the imams do not actually consider for the man the knee as being part of the awra. In fact, what they see is that it's between the navel and the knee and doesn't actually include the knee in and of itself. And that's actually the minority view amongst the ulama. But there is this presence at times where you find that the correction that comes is a good thing. It's even if the person is wrong in how they do it or why they do it or for whatever reason they do it for their own, you know, sake or their own glory, jazakumullah khair. But what it does is that it humbles the individual who's receiving it. And that becomes an important aspect of how we look at the tazkiyah, that every opportunity that we receive in life, every encounter that occurs in life, whether you're getting stuck at a red light after red light after red light. I remember I was a translator for my sheikh, may Allah have mercy upon a sheikh, Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin, ghafarallahu lana wa lah, wa jama'ana bihi fi jannatin na'im. مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم أنزل على قبره الضياء والنور والفسحة والسرور وجازه بالإحسان إحسانا وتجاوز عن السيئات يا أرحم الراحمين غفر الله لنا وله ولجميع المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. Our Sheikh, I was sitting next to him and we were in New York City, and there was a brother who was driving us to the venue where he was going to give a talk and I would be its translator. And subhanAllah, we were a little bit late and every light that we would get to was a red light. And the sheikh turned to me and he said, Yahya, yani nastaghfirullah. How about we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness? Let's begin our istighfar. La'allah yufuk al-tariq. This is exactly how he said it. That Allah may undo the path and the hindrances in front of us. And in my heart, subhanAllah, there were, you know, I was maybe 17, 18 at the time. My heart began, you know, saying, does he think I was like, did something wrong? Or like, is he trying to? And he turned to me, he goes, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum wa atubu ilayhi, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi. So I began to say it, red light, red light, red light. And then he says, Ulil akhuna, tell our brother, the driver who didn't speak Arabic, tell him to join us with istighfar. And the brother turned and goes, no, no, wallahi, Sheikh, I have wudu. I remember the brother, I have wudu, I didn't do anything wrong. And the Sheikh, no, said, no, no, just make it. Maybe Allah will open the path. And subhanAllah, green, 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 green thereafter. And, you know, the Sheikh, he turned to me and goes, Allah forgave my sins. It's his polite way of saying, I wasn't accusing you of anything or the brother of anything, but this is how we look at the world, right? The Sahaba, they used to say, I know if I have erred between myself and Allah when my animal troubles me in my riding with it. So, you know, they used to have a camel. Sometimes a camel or a donkey or a horse, they get stubborn. So the Sahaba, they would say, when I saw my horse get stubborn with me, my camel get stubborn with me, I would begin istighfar and say, I must have done something wrong that has resulted in this occurring. They would hold themselves accountable in that sense. So the remedies, of course, is that we need to identify some of the things that we need to purify out of our life that at times we have allowed to creep in unnecessarily. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he taught us, of course, the importance of the process of tazkiyah, the intent to seek to purify, which is the aim of my discussion. We'll talk about the techniques in the coming days. but that we know that we need to purify our existence, purify our homes, purify our habits, purify our intentions, purify our advice that we give for each other, purify the recommendations, purify how we receive advice, how we receive condemnation, how we are silent when we are in a place where we don't have something good that can be said or shared with others. All of those are things that are a part and parcel of the tazkiyah, which Allah has made a vow about in the Quran in Surah Ash-Shamsi wa Duhaha, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the one who will succeed is the one who seeks to purify their soul, is always looking for improvement. And that's the way I like to frame it, that you're a proactive fixer. You're trying to fix the things that are there that you know need to be fixed before they become bigger, bigger problems. You want to catch it before it becomes something major. Know for a fact that none of us will enter Jannah until our heart is salim, and until that we remove from our souls the agitation. And Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. I will remove malice and anger and hatred from their heart, إِخْوَانًا, that they become brother and brotherhood of humanity in Jannatul Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And as for those who are fearing of their Lord, fearing the meeting and standing in front of Him, fearing the magnificence of Allah, and they restrain themselves, they hold their souls to account, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, then paradise definitely will become their home and abode. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the numerous relationships in that are studied by us in the Quran, of those who let their relationships come to ruin on account of them not restraining themselves from that which was indecent and that which was haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Allahumma ameen. We should be regular in our dua, in understanding that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is success, salvation, happiness, and contentment. And those who are listening live at yahyaibrahim.com/live, you are able, inshallah, to send a group messages to each other. You're also able to send me questions that will pop up on my screen that I'll be able to look through and answer, inshallah. Some of the questions that have already come in. How do we stop overthinking about our state of tazkiyah? For some of us, the problem is we're always self-critical or too self-critical. That's an important question. I want you to know that there are two answers that I need to give here. One answer is a clinical mental health answer, where I say that as Muslims, at times, we assume something is simply waswasa, you know, the shaitan kind of putting things in our heart, making us overthink our wudu and so on. And it's not waswasa. Rather, it is an obsessive compulsive disorder. It is something that is very treatable if a person intervenes early, if a person seeks clarity, seeks to learn techniques to be able to rein that in and to gain counseling and clinician help. It is something that is important for them to do. So I'm not going to offer you a spiritual cure for something that is a physical ailment. Then there's another type, which is a spiritual waswasa, where it's not a obsessive compulsive disorder. Rather, it is somebody who has become too self-critical. And I want you to know that the Prophet ﷺ would say, "Hawwin alayka nafsak." Take liberty with yourself more than you are taking self-critique. Don't be too hard on yourself in a measure that was not meant to you measuring your scales with. The best way for you to do that is become more and more acquainted with the laws of Allah, with that which is halal and that which is haram, to study the maqasid, the aims of our sharia, and to understand the mechanisms of usul, how things are put together for us to understand our issues. For example, I had one brother, I saw him saying to another Muslim brother who was left-handed, right? The Muslim brother was left-handed, and he ate something with his left hand, and the brother next to him said, "Akhi, it's haram to eat with your left hand." Now, none of the imams of Ahl Sunnah have said that it is haram to eat with the left hand unless the person doing that is doing so with the intent of defying the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, it is seen as a makruh, or it is haram لِغَيْرِهِ, something that can lead to haram if you are following the Hanafi school. But it is not haram in its essence. And the words of the Prophet ﷺ of highly discouraging us and of saying, do not eat with your left hand, it is a self-purification and protection for us, but there is no listed punishment for eating with the left hand. The punishment that is assigned, the disobedience in it, is that you know the Prophet said to eat with the right, and you say, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want to do. So the brother who was eating with his left, he said, I haven't yet learned how to eat this food with my right hand, and I'm going to spill it everywhere, my brother. So make dua to Allah for me. The other one still said, no, it's haram. It's better for you not to eat, subhanAllah. That mentality is one that is of greater harm, greater illness, greater sin than for the person to have eaten with his left hand with the excuse that he had. I want you to pay attention to the importance of us being careful with being a little bit too obsessive in trying to follow the sunnah in a way that misguides us from the sunnah, that leads us off the path of righteousness. May Allah protect us from this, Ya Rab. Why did the Prophet's heart need purification? Because he's a human being, and every human being has the capacity to make mistake. The mistake of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophets of Allah are not our mistakes. The mistakes of the Prophets of Allah is that they wanted to do something good before it was asked of them. So they were too earnest, like Musa attaining to the Mount of Sinai without his people. He hurried before them. عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِطَ I came so that you will be happy. قَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَإِنَّا فَتَنَّا قَوْمَ Go back, because your people have been tested and now they've been led astray. SubhanAllah. So all of the Prophets of Allah would make istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness. The mistake of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that there were moments in his life where he was not in the mention of Allah. His whole life was an act of worship, but there were moments where he would pause. So one of the reasons when we come out of the bathroom, we say, Astaghfirullah, 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 is because in the bathroom you're not supposed to speak. You're not supposed to make mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make mention of the words of Allah. And because the Prophet was always consumed with the dhikr of Allah, when he was in that state and he hadn't mentioned Allah, the first thing that he would say thereafter was, Astaghfirullah, I ask you, Ya Allah, for forgiveness. How do we notice the importance of tazkiyah in one day more than another, or to perform tazkiyah in one reason for more than another? This is something that you need to become more aware of, the processes of tazkiyah, that they are an unending process. You will need to cleanse yourself and to keep this in your mind for the rest of your life in a way that is positive and that leads you to doing more good rather than just staying away from wrong. Most people, the failure in their process of tazkiyah, they think it assumes I have to stop bad things. No, it is you have to increase good things that will help you to stay away from the bad things. May Allah increase us in our amal as-salih. The final question, inshallah, as I don't like to go past 30 or 40 minutes for these sessions. Should we then assume that anything that bad happens in our day-to-day life, that it is because we are mindless of Allah or we have sinned? The great Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam of Hadith, he is of the Tabi'een, the students of the Sahaba, he would say, أصلح ما بينك وبين الله يصلح الله ما بينك وبين الناس. If you fix what is between you and Allah, Allah will fix what is between you and others. And he says, أصلح ما بينك في أصلح سرك يصلح الله علانيتك. Fix your private life with Allah. Allah will fix your public image and your persona. And therefore, it's important for us to consider that there are things we do in our life that do bring us to disrepute and bring us to humiliation. In the same way, there are good things we do in our life that bring us protection and honor us from humiliation. May Allah give us the balance between the two. Allahumma ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I pray, is generous and merciful to you and I, and that He grants us good in this life and in the next. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.